As autonomous vehicles become a more common sight on valley roads, transit officials are thinking about how this new technology might fit into their future plans. With me to talk about that is Scott Smith, CEO of Valley Metro. And Scott, you've been talking recently about the future of transit in the valley. To you, what do you think it looks like?
Well, the future of transit is bright, but it's going to be very different than what we know today. There's a lot of talk about what autonomous vehicles will do to our transportation system as a whole. As a matter of fact, I was driving in here today. I think I passed both an Uber and a Waymo car on the street. You see them everywhere, especially in the East Valley. And there's a lot of the discussion is that somehow autonomous vehicles and new technology will make transit irrelevant. And I reject that outright. I think that autonomous vehicles and all the new ride share and all that will certainly, as they already have, changed how we get from here to there. But I think transit will play an important role in that system of the future.
Does that technology mean that you have to evolve in what you do and how you do it?
There's no doubt that transit has to adjust and has to evolve. We're going to add 1 million people here in Metro Phoenix in the next 15 years or so. And we simply don't have enough real estate to build enough roads, freeways, to handle all these cars. Autonomous vehicles will certainly, as they come into to play, and it's going to take a long time for everybody to be in an autonomous vehicle, but there's no doubt that there will be efficiencies gained as far as congestion. But studies have also shown that when we don't worry about parking, we don't worry about what to do with the car when we get to our destination, that people take more trips. So it's really not known how our behavior will change when we have autonomous vehicles. We just know that we have to get a lot of people from point A to point B, and there's no more effective, efficient way of moving large numbers of people than public transportation.
Do you consider something like autonomous vehicles in some way a form of transit in the sense that people can go directly from point A to point B? They pay a sort of a set amount if it's a service like Uber or something. I mean, do you consider it competition in some way?
Oh, absolutely. It's part of transit and transportation. But I don't view it as competition per se. I view it as a complement. I think that in the future, what you will see is the new technology will actually expand what I do at Valley Metro. We'll bring new riders into the system. And I'll give you an example. Right now, it's very difficult for someone to take light rail, for example, unless they either live or they work within walking distance of a light rail. Where I live in East Mesa, for example, I can drive to the park and ride, but I couldn't take light rail into downtown Phoenix unless my office were in walking distance of my destination. Luckily, it's a block away, so it makes it easy. But let's say that in Phoenix, I worked 3 miles away from where a light rail station was. I'm not able to take light rail. With autonomous vehicles, that changes the game. With the way that we are developing mobile apps, I can literally get up, tell my smartphone, head to work, and I can walk out the door. I can envision there will be an autonomous vehicle waiting for me when I get out there. It's going to be seamless. It's going to take me to a station, a light rail station. I'm going to get on light rail. When I get off, there's another autonomous vehicle waiting there for me, and it takes me the 3 miles to my final destination. I see that happening as the number of people expand, the number of cars expand, and people recognize that they're not going to take that autonomous vehicle 25 miles into work, but light rail, express bus, those kind of things make a great are a great way to travel, but they need to get there to the station, get back. And also what autonomous vehicles are going to do, they're going to provide the transit of the future in the suburban places, the Ahwatukees, the Gilberts, the places like that. You will see literally fleets of these autonomous vehicles being the public transportation where we have none or limited right now.
I'm curious why you're so confident that if somebody calls an autonomous vehicle, for example, from their house, why they wouldn't just take it all the way into work, why they would decide to go to a light rail station. It's kind of like in a city like New York, people complain about having to change trains. This seems like kind of the same concept. Why wouldn't somebody just take an autonomous vehicle like a taxi all the way to work?
I think some will choose to do that, but I think the economics will be the decider. The fact of the matter is that what we're now finding out with just little snippets of information that are coming out is that most ride shares are short trips. Unless you're going to the airport, you generally don't take an Uber from Peoria to downtown Phoenix. The economics hardly work now, and they won't work in the future.
So do you see this maybe as a way to kind of get light rail into parts of the valley that have said they don't want it? Scottsdale, for example.
Well, I certainly see it as what should be a part of the discussion. Right now, the discussion is, why should we invest in light rail when it's yesterday's technology and it's going to be replaced? I think that's a fallacy. I don't believe that's a smart way of looking at things. I think we need to look at what we would call high-capacity transit, whether it be bus rapid transit, express bus, light rail, streetcar. We need to look at those things as being important, an important part of a transportation future.
Does this new technology change the way you maybe look at the map and try to figure out where, for example, you'd want to expand light rail or a bus line or something like that?
It absolutely does. We're looking right now at how we can create these corridors, these capacity, high-capacity corridors. It doesn't do any good if I have a so-called high-capacity corridor, but I'm trying to put buses into an already very congested street. And so what we're looking at is, are these corridors where we can move people quickly, we can move people efficiently, and we can go from point to point and create these hubs, these stops, limited stops, where people can gather and can get on. So it absolutely fits in with our long-term planning.
How does all of that affect the funding question in terms of how much you think you might need and how much you actually have?
Well, and that's one of our big concerns, is that it absolutely plays into the funding question. Whenever you have uncertainty, and the future is uncertain, not that it's going to happen. We know what's going to happen. It's how will it play out. People have a tendency to pull back on funding, like they did in Glendale recently. The city council decided we don't want to fund light rail. I respect that decision. I would have made a different decision, but, you know, I'm the transit guy. I think that the danger we have is that we're going to jump to conclusions and we're going to cut back funding as opposed to redirecting funding, as opposed to focusing on funding. We already hear, and this is a major part of the transit argument, public transportation will be irrelevant 10 years from now. That is a fallacy. But it's an argument that has a lot of weight because it tells people that I don't have to invest in that. And I think it's a fallacy because I don't believe that that's going to be the reality. But we are concerned that those kind of emotional pleas get into the discussion, and therefore we make short-term decisions that hurt long-term challenges.
When you look at ways that new technology might be sort of integrated into what public transit looks like in the Valley, do you get the sense that what you need to do your job will be roughly the same amount of funding as what you get, more or less?
Right now, I don't know what the total amount is. It's certainly not going to be less. Right now, we move 70 million passengers on Metro Phoenix public transportation right now. That's not going to go down. It will increase over the next 10 years. Less funding is not going to answer our question. But we need to be very, 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 very careful as to where we put that money. There's no doubt we need to invest more money in, as I've said, high-capacity corridors. I think we'll transfer some of our existing funding out of local routes into those high-capacity, but we need to continue to invest. The other thing is we obviously need to invest in the new technology. Autonomous vehicles is just not in the car itself. There are smart roads and technology you need to put into the streets and everything in order to make that fully function. And so as we look at this next round of funding, and in Metro Phoenix, we have a very big decision in about 4 years as we look to extend Prop 400. We're going to have to ask serious questions as to where we're going to put that money and how much. And I hope that it's not less, because I think we will live to regret that decision if we don't invest as much, if not more, into our public transportation system.
All right. Valley Metro CEO Scott Smith. Scott, thanks a lot for coming in.
Thanks for having me.